Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
As we recently just celebrated Mother's Day, I wanted to have an episode where we talk about great moms that are killing it in the game. As moms, we are there for our kids, keeping up with household chores. Some of us are working moms, some of us are crushing goals, building generational wealth, and healing traumas. And for some moms, we're creating safe spaces. Which brings us to today's episode with our guest, Tanya Hales, creator of BMC, Black Moms Connection. So on today's episode, we will discuss this safe space and organization specifically for Black mothers. I hope this episode provides you with insight and sparks discussion. This is A Shot of Melanin. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of A Shot of Melanin. We've got a special guest for our Mother's Day episode. I'm going to let our guest introduce herself a little bit, so take the floor, my guest.
Hi, my name is Beyonce.
Ha!
Just kidding. Hi, everybody. My name is Tanya Hales. I am the founder of Black Moms Connection, an online global village of almost 30,000 Black moms and national nonprofit organization in Canada.
Perfect. So basically today I wanted to kind of talk about mothers, whether it is in the realm of starting up an organization, a business, whatever the case may be. And I thought, who would be better to have this episode but Tanya herself? I am actually a mother myself. I'm a mother of two. And so I found BMC. I think somebody added me into the group. And I was like, what is this BMC? Please, Tanya, please explain to me. Where did Black Moms Connection come from? Like, where did you get the idea?
Yeah. So my son was two. So this was a few years ago. He's now nine. And I was at a splash pad with him and son was at. And I was like, do they make sunscreen for Black skin? And like most moms my age, my era, I was like, I'm in a whole bunch of mom groups online, but not very diverse spaces, we'll say, to
right.
Keep it polite. And I wanted to be able to ask very Black questions and get very Black answers. Because there are things that are very specific to us as Black women that we face in our motherhood journey. So I asked 12 of my friends, if I created this thing, would you join? And they said yes. And it was originally Black Moms Network. And not a lot of people know that. And the reason why we changed it is because then the moms who did find it, they were just promoting their businesses. And, you know, like the club after the club, when you come out and there's like flyers all over the parking lot that have been put on the cars while we were all partying. That's what it became. And I was like, I don't want this. So I changed it to Connection because I wanted it to be very intentionally about connecting with other Black mothers. So that was January 2015. And the rest is history.
Wow. Now, when you created it, was your
original vision for the group, did you ever imagine it would get to the level that it is now? Because you've got followers from all over the globe. Like, all over.
Yes. Did I envision? Absolutely not. No, I started it so that I, on top of connecting with other Black mothers, you know, could build out my own village. I'm a single parent and wanted to be able to just find other moms that I could just connect with. Also, fun fact, when I was thinking about it and doing my research and starting it, I originally was going to create a space for Black single mothers. So it's like, I'm one. Let me create something for us. And I was in another group at the time for single moms, and I just found it so heavy all the time. Because, of course, the biggest source of frustration is a lack of co-parent or active co-parent.
Right.
And I'm like, there's more to motherhood than that. And there's more to Black motherhood than that. I know that that is the lived experience for many. But I didn't want that to be my day to day, right? I'm very mindful of what I ingest online. So I was just like, no, let me just make it for all moms. And again, ironically enough, see, I'm dropping all sorts of secrets that no one knows. it was originally supposed to be Canadian only because so many things online that are Black focused are US based. And I wanted to literally be able to pick up and visit this new friend of mine that I made in this space. But that's not how the internet works. And so in 2016, we went from 400 to 4,000 in 2 months. And I was like, wow. What is happening? And it was the time around Trayvon Martin getting killed and Black Lives Matter beginning in the US. And moms just needed a space to be like, I'm afraid, this is shitty, this, I'm scared, you know, all these things for myself, for my son, for my husband, and not be told they're playing the race card and that all lives matter and all the other microaggressions and not so microaggressions that we get in spaces where we are not the majority. So that's where our huge first spike came from. And that's when I knew, I was like, oh, this is a thing. Oh, okay. Never foresaw it getting that big at that time. I never foresaw it continuing to grow over the past, you know, 5-6 years. And having chapters in Asia, in Atlanta, in Alberta, and New York, and Peel, and all sorts of other places. We've got 9 chapters right now. And, you know, moms who are connected by, you know, the thread that is Black motherhood. And it's beautiful to see. And I love when people utilize the space and they get the support and their sisters just wrap them up and say, you know, we here, we got you. You have a date night. Okay, here's what you should wear. You know, no, that's just a heat rash. You don't have to worry about it. Every baby has fallen off the bed. You are not the first. You will not be the last.
The last.
Listen, you know, like there's so many things. And some people might be listening like, oh, every mom goes through this. Yes, there are certain things that every mom goes through, but not every mom has to deal with their children being called the N-word at 5.
Right.
Or being followed in a store and being, you know, carted on the streets. That is not an every motherhood experience. So that is why we exist and continue to grow.
What I particularly like about it is when I first got into the group, I just had my daughter. And I know nothing about motherhood. I had just moved to a city that I had known nobody. I'm originally from Montreal. And I moved here with she was maybe a couple weeks old. And, you know, there are things that you don't know about motherhood. And I have to be honest, if it wasn't for Black Mom Connection, I wouldn't know things were normal. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, for example, as you mentioned, falling off of the bed or the changing table. It happens.
Every single
day. So,
every single one. And the ones who said, this has never happened to me. I'm just like, something else has. You've left
yes,
them in the car. They got a scratch because your nails were too long. Something. You have injured your child in some way, shape, or form. And that is a rite of parenthood. You feel terrible. You hopefully don't have to go to a hospital or a walk-in clinic because of it. But there's so many things about parenthood that are not discussed. Right. And everyone feels like, oh, that just happened to me. So when that happens and a mom is brave enough to share that in the group, and then the moms are able to say, oh, girl, this happened to me, and they're fine. He's a PhD now. Like, you know, it's like, you didn't ruin his brain forever. That's the encouragement that we need, especially when you're a new mom and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. There's no book. There's tons of books, but there's no book, if that makes sense.
That it makes complete sense, because you know the amount of books I've got after I had my daughter, and I'm like, this still doesn't answer my questions, because some of them won't answer your questions. You really need to ask people who've been in the situation of what was your experience. And I think that's what I like. It's also the sense of community. We could all come together as Black women, you know, and you know, sometimes you can expect to get a little bit of side eye a couple times. So how do you deal with being such a big community and, you know, everybody's there for each other, but also having to deal with the criticism of those people who are in the group? Like, how do you kind of maneuver through it, or people are telling you how to better deal with, no, how to better manage BMC? How do you deal with that?
Well, I tell them that, first of all, managing BMC is like herding cats or sheep. So they can't tell me anything about managing BMC, A, that I don't already know, that I haven't already tried, or that I'm not already doing, because it is not for the faint of heart, and they could not do it. Just to be really clear, this is where I do my shout out of my admin team, my ninjas. They are the Dora Milaje of BMC. They're the ones going to the profiles and doing the approvals. They're the ones looking at your posts before they hit send or decline. You know, they're the ones doing that tireless, thankless, unpaid work to keep BMC a safe space. I think one of the things that's really important is this. No group is a monolith, even ours. We have people from all over the world, which means people with varying political, religious, geographical, cultural upbringings, thoughts, and feelings about topics. Do we tend to lean one way on a particular topic or on a few particular topics worldwide as a conglomerate? Yes. There's going to be people who don't lean, they go against the wave. And then the thing about going against the wave is, yes, it's a safe space for everybody. And then those who sometimes they're doing it for antagonistic sake. And I'm just like, I'm not going to protect you when you are deliberately trying to set yourself up as the villain here. Right. But say it's about discipline and you come out and you say, I loudly and proudly spank my children. You have to be prepared for what happens when you say that. It's not me saying it's not a safe space for dissent. And I'm just like, I cannot censor everybody. And I can't also help people formulate their opinions. I'm just like, if you say that that's something that you want to do and you stand by it, then cool. But you cannot expect everybody to say like, oh yeah, me too, sis. Because at the end of the day, it is still the internet. And it is not entirely safe because these are strangers. And strangers do things like take screenshots and go into your profile to see what kind of mom you are and judge you and stuff like that. Like, despite us all sharing Black motherhood as a commonality, we do also have differences and judgments. We are still human. That's what we do to each other. But we draw lines on specific things, right? We don't allow for any type of discrimination against the LGBTQ plus communities. You know, we are not there for the discrimination against any other BIPOC communities. So it is really important for us to, and we're really loud about that and really swift, and we manage it in our own ways. You know, and I've seen so much change on how Facebook allows admins to manage their groups. They've poured a lot because it's what's keeping people on Facebook. And so it's just like now being able to put people in a timeout when they're getting too unruly, or shutting a post down automatically if it's gotten too many comments in a short period of time, or, you know, being able to delete someone, all of their posts, and, you know, all sorts of things with one fell swoop versus me having to go and manually do that. Those are really right. important tools for us keeping the safe space and or the space safe, I should say. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. You know why? Because all this is done by people who are moms, employees, employers, daughters, sisters, aunties, taking care of their mm-hmm. parents, potentially taking care of themselves for free. So the yeah. grace that is needed for what we've been able to build in 6 years and keep the majority of people, I like to think, happy and engaged and entertained and educated. The few who haven't liked us, they left. People tried to like start their own BMC group. We're a BMC group for everybody. I'm like, okay, sis. You know, you know, okay. you can start something in anger. It's a firework. It's going to dissipate into the sky. And then what? You did all of that for nothing. Nothing. I'm not worried about those people because I'm just like, I have a brand. BMC is a brand. It is a media source. It is why some people keep their Facebook page altogether. And yeah, we center the moms. I don't center myself. It's not about me or my ego or my wallet. And definitely it's not about my wallet. I don't get paid. But it's about making sure that the moms have a place that they can ask their questions and get their answers.
That's good. Because I think definitely as Black mothers, we need that. And so I was just kind of thinking, how did you go from just a Facebook to now a non-for-profit?
Yeah.
How did you decide to go from, okay, Facebook, outside of Facebook, let's do something else outside of it?
Yes. Well, easily because I have a background in nonprofit and charitable work. I've worked for Big Brothers Big Sisters, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. I know that funders are not going to fund a Facebook group. If I want to mm-hmm. do anything tangible, I have to make it something that they can fund. So, and that was the thing. I was seeing the conversations happening and seeing the same questions come up. And I'm like, I want to have a conference. In my pre-pandemic life, I had my own event planning agency and did event planning for 15 years. So I was just like, I don't want to pay for it. And I don't want to ask the moms to pay for it. So who's going to pay for this? And so it needed to be an organization in order to get the money to pay for the things that will help the moms. Right. And that was the reason for it and continues to be. And, you know, we have gotten ourselves into amazing spaces and collaborated with amazing partners, government level, corporate level, you know, other organizations, charitable nonprofits, to always, again, benefit the moms. People come to me and, oh, share this and do this. And they want to use the labor of what I've built over the past 5-6 years, the blood, sweat, and tears, to just post something. I'm like, first of all, that's still labor and time. Also, that's not free. And yep. also, just because you're Black doesn't mean that I have to post your book, product, service, business. What is right. the benefit to the moms?
Right.
That's like, true. Ask yourself that question before you pitch us. What is the benefit to the moms? Because it's not, yeah. if it's not going to help them parent better, help them raise their babies better, you know, it's just a product or service that you're trying to sell. That's not a benefit to them. That's of interest. No. That's not of benefit.
Right. Benefit. So, for example, one of the things that I find as a benefit is that you talk about financial literacy program, which is FinLit You. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about where this idea came from and what is the goal for FinLit You?
To take over the world.
Yes.
So FinLit You was born because August 2017, we held our first conference. It was a full day. It was devoted to Black motherhood. We talked about navigating the education system. We talked about parenting children with special needs. What else did we talk about that day? A whole bunch of things. And we had mm-hmm. two sessions on financial literacy. And the afternoon session took place at the same time as something else. So we had two floors of a building. And there was one session on the main stage and one set in the financial literacy session was in the basement. I went downstairs. I thought the room was going to collapse because there was people outside the room, people's like along the walls. I was just like, oh, well, I really should have switched this, but you know, it's kind of too late for that. But this, the room was hot. It was also August. I'm just like, woo, it's 900 degrees in here. So I was like, all right, well, that tells me something. And so we made Finlit Summit March 2018 to be a full day of financial literacy learning. And the root of everything that we do is making it culturally relevant. It has to be Black professionals doing the facilitations of all of our conversations. Why? Because we know that there's cultural nuances and things that only we experience or only we get and understand as a community. And you are going to learn differently from people who look like you. It's going to resonate. They're going to tell a joke that is very Black, and you're going to laugh and remember that when you're leaving this financial literacy. That financial literacy is not sexy. It's not exciting. It's not entertaining. You know, it can be mundane. It can be boring. But woo, if you have the right speaker who's able to infuse their Blackness and show up as their full self, which means how they present the information is going to be completely different. And how you receive the information is going to be completely different. Now you've left, and now everybody's happy. That you know, and then that person calls up I saw you speak at Finlit. So now you have new clients. And now a client has an advisor. And now everybody, I'm just like, I have built an ecosystem of paying people and getting people paid. I'm just like, this is a win-win. This makes me happy. And so Finlit U was born out of Finlit Summit because a 45-minute session on taxes or entrepreneurship is not enough. You get Black people going, we could go all day. So we're like, oh, let's try and test out that theory. And we submitted an application. It was approved. And we launched Finlit U January 2021. And we do, it's an 8-week masterclass. It's 5 hours on a Saturday, basically the entire day when you really think about it, by the time you're done. And the moms show up. And when we launched the application in at the end of 2020, the first 24 hours, we got almost 200 applicants. So I was like, oh, this is the thing that the people want. But here's how we're able to do that. One, we have been putting in the work on financial literacy things since 2017 in small ways, right? Sometimes it's a session, sometimes it's a summit, and people trust us. And you can't buy that. You cannot fake that either. And you also cannot take it for granted. And we definitely don't on all three fronts. And so when we're doing anything related to financial literacy, our community is just like, get information, 5, 6, 7, 8, let's go and apply, because they know it's going to be built for them with them in mind. If it's in person, it's going to have childcare. If it's not, we're going to send you a virtual Uber Eats code so you can feed your children, because they're going to be hungry because they're always hungry. And, you know, we're going to have it be very Black and very unique to you. And now we have cohorts of women who have an accountability group, right? The 11 women that they did this with, went on this financial journey with, are now their own little financial accountability group, which is really key in getting your financial goals off the ground. So someone holding you accountable, like, hey sis, did you call the credit card company to ask about dropping your interest rate? No. Well, when are you gonna do that? You know, and then when you do it, you have someone to celebrate that with. Oh my gosh, I called and I had a drop from like 20% to 14. That's a big job. And that's worth celebrating. We have moms who bought their first property, their first investment property. They knocked out 20K in debt. They got their children into investing. Those are wins. Those are wins for our community. It's wins for our country. It's wins for BMC as an organization. Like, what did that do for me, Tanya Hales? Not much other than stress me out. But am I so immensely proud of just sitting and paying attention and then giving the people what they need? Yes. Right. Because
Because essentially, all it takes. For Finn Lich, you're helping them with establishing generational wealth.
Yes.
So they're learning about, you know, and trust me, I think when it comes to financial literacy, that is not something that a lot of Black people have access to or information on, whereas maybe people from other backgrounds may have known that way back when. Yep. Some of them are learning them just now. Yep. Or some of them are just getting access to some of them just now. So I think that's great that we have the Finn Lit U, which is when I saw it on the Facebook page, I thought that was great, because it was definitely going to help women, especially because some women may also be single moms like yourself, and this could really help them move forward. So I thought that was great. Can you talk about the financial support grant that you have available for Black moms and how our mom listeners can potentially maybe apply?
Yeah, so how that came about, it's always been something that I wanted to do, and I was just like, who is going to fund it? That's always my biggest question, because, you know, people, let me go backwards. When I first hit 5K in members, I was like, oh my gosh, 5,000 moms, that's so much. What are you going to do? How are you going to monetize it? And I'm like, guys, I didn't start it to monetize it. Right. And I still have that mentality, right? There's, I'm sure, a ton of people who are just like, oh my gosh, but there's so many opportunities. I'm just like, yes, but that's what people have come to expect, that they're at some point in time going to be monetized and become the product. And they're not, as much as I possibly can, right? And so when it came to the financial grant, the emergency grant, I was just like, I want to be able to, again, I'm all about the tangibles. You leave our conferences, you're leaving with apps to download, books to buy, people to follow, notes on notes, and tangibles in other ways. Could I have tried to partner with a store to get gift cards and this, that, the other? I'm just like, sure. Or you know what will always rule everything around us? Money. So I think that was the impetus for it. And then gratefully, L'Oreal, they have a program, Women of Worth, where they honor, I think it's about 10 women who are volunteers. So specifically, like, not paid executive directors of nonprofit organizations and grassroots organizations across the country. It is a worldwide program. L'Oreal everywhere has their own version of this. Okay. And I was a recipient of that in 2020. The last thing I did before the world closed was the gala. And it comes with a $10,000 donation. So that check became the funding seed for our financial grant, and felt it was a really beautiful way to keep the mission of what Women of Worth even meant. You know, their L'Oreal's logo or slogan is, because you're worth it. And so many times, you know, the only way to get some cash is to do something that is below your worth. Go to a cash checking place, sell something that you don't want to sell, ask someone that you don't really want to ask, but you're really desperate. And we don't do a lot of vetting. We try to make everything as low barrier as possible. I'm like, apply, give us some information. We're going to look at it. And I'm going to say, what's your EMT for the US moms? What's your PayPal? Or what's your Western Union? And here's $200. I don't need receipts. I don't care what you used it for, because you applied because you needed it. And some way, somewhere down the road, 2 years, 5 years from now, they're going to remember that kindness and do something for other people. Could be for BMC or could be just somebody else. Everybody needs help at some point in time. And this is before the global pandemic.
Okay.
Right? We launched, I got the award, the gala was in March 2020. And I was just like, all right, well, we're going to launch this thing. And then I was just like, oh, snap. People need the monies. And then we launched our second one as we saw that this thing was not going away and we're stuck in the house and can't work and can't do things. So we launched BMC Rent Bank with the generous seed money from Bank of Montreal, BMO. And that was deliberately targeting Canadian moms who needed help with their rent or their mortgage. And the reason, I mean, it's called Rent Bank because it's catchier than like rent or mortgage support or something like that. But I'm very deliberate in saying rent or mortgage because a lot of times when people already own a house, it's assumed automatically they have a lot of wealth and that they don't have struggles. And I'm like, that's not true, especially in a pandemic. You know, your one partner all of a sudden went from six figures to zero income in a global pandemic. You know what you're going to need to still pay your mortgage. And so I'll never forget it. I was making the payments. I went to a Scotia bank to make a payment. And I was just like, I'd like to pay someone's, make a payment to someone's mortgage. And the teller's like, what are you talking about? And so I'm like, I had to explain what VMC is and what I'm doing. And it's legit. And I have the monies. And I'm like, here are the cash monies. And I'm the founder. And you can Google me and all sorts of things. And then she called over a manager and she called over somebody else. And they're like, can you pay our mortgage? I'm just like, you were in a bank. No. Also, I'm just like, I need you to focus. None of you women are black. So, you know, and was able to make that. And they're just like, this is amazing. Oh my gosh. Like, this is so beautiful. I'm just like, you know, thanks. It is. Yes. And I love that. I love writing those checks. That's one of my favorite things ever. And then at the end of 2021,
last year,
I feel maybe perhaps, I don't know. It's all blur. Unilever came on and then we had the Unilever wellness grant. So it was $250 for moms to use, you know, for anything wellness, you know, health,
right,
skincare, all the things that you're told you're not supposed to buy.
Right.
Because those are not emergency. You don't need lotion. Yes, I do. We're black. We need lotion. Lotion is an emergency. We grab our skin.
Okay. Especially this winter.
Listen.
Ashy elbows.
And they gave that to us at the end of December. And they're like, we need you to spend this $30,000 by the end of the year. I'm just like, guys, that's a lot of money to spend in a short period of time. I took that challenge on and I made most of it. I did like 85% of it before Christmas.
Nice.
And then the rest was done before New Year's. And it required a lot. I was on IG Live. I'm like, hey, y'all, this is me walking to BMC's bank, walking across the parking lot to my personal bank because I've capped out on the amount of EMTs that I can spend from CIBC. Mm-hmm. So let me go to RBC. Listen, that was a very stressful time in Tanya's life. I'm like, next time I'm just writing checks and everyone can just deal. But, you know, so that year we gave out $45,000 in emergency. Wow. Like we gave money to moms to do the things that they needed to do. Buy Christmas gifts, buy, you know, bun and cheese. I don't care what it is,
right,
because it was something that you needed for you and your children.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Did you use it for yourself? I don't care if you got your nails done with it. That is still something for you. That's wellness. Mm. That's self-care. Is it an emergency? Not so much. But I'm just like, I'm just like, I'm not going to focus too much on the people trying to do things for bad. So I'm just like, I don't, on the time to focus on that. I'm going to do what I do for the people who said that they needed it, hope that they needed it, hope that it helped, and keep it moving because I have other things to do.
To do. 100%. Now, I remember in November, you had a wellness workshop called You Okay, Mama? Where you gathered a group of women to connect with and support each other. Now, me and my co-host, we love the concept of wellness workshop because women need more connections and support to lift each other up. Now, can you share with us a bit about the day and if you plan on doing any more of those in the future.
Yes. So You Okay Mama is a new BMC vertical, as we like to call it. Clearly Finlit, we've been honing it and crafting it for a while. You know, people know us for it. We're known for it. We're good. Good in the Finlits. And then having a conversation with my men team, and I was just like, what do moms need to be better moms? What kind of supports? Mm. We are never asked if we're okay. No one asks us if we're okay. So let's start there. And no one ever asks us what we need. And Yes, the easy answer is money. Money and time and sleep. That's the holy trinity of what a mom needs. Yeah, okay. So what can we offer to moms in a wellness, and not just mental, but just like emotional and spiritual and, you know, somewhat financial, but not really, because of course that's already kind of covered. What can we offer the moms that will help them be better moms? Yeah. And so that's where You Okay Mama comes from. And yeah, so we did the wellness workshop. We did a goal setting. We have one coming up on May 1st that'll be focused for mom entrepreneurs specifically. I actually just spoke with a Black therapist today in terms of like scheduling out, you know, some ideas with her, which may or may not include, you know, group therapy sessions that moms can access for free. I had an idea and I put it in the group. I'm like, hey, y'all, if we had a workshop, I'm learning how to cornrow. Would you attend? And I was not expecting the response that I got, which was overwhelmingly yes. And I was like, all right, well, I'm so glad my admin is also a Black woman who's a mom. I'm like, I need you to research hair companies that'll send me styrofoam heads, how much they're going to cost, and braiding hair. Go. Like, that's the most random task to be assigned. But because she's Black and she knows what we're trying to do, it's not super random. And so that is going to be one of the things, because we know in our community, Black hair is very personal to us. And it's seen as a personal failure if you're a Black woman who does not know how to do this. And it's even harder if you have a daughter and you don't know how to do this, because you didn't learn from your mom, or your mom didn't know, or whatever it was. So being able to do things like that, that's a bonding experience. That's a communal experience. You know, that's every Sunday you're going to be able to sit down with your daughters and do their care and talk with them and learn about who they are as people and watch them grow up between your knees. You know, one of my friends, B. Kwame, she'll post her Sunday watch day chronicle. She's got two daughters. Woo! Listen. Shout out to all the girl moms out there, because I don't got it. She one of her eldest, she did her hair, and her eldest was not happy with the results, and so she's just like, all right, I got a wheel and come again. And you know, and just how happy they are and how proud they are of their hair, and thinking about how different that is just one generation later, where so many of us grew up getting, you know, the hot comb press into our ears and, you know, the relaxer, and it's burning, but you don't want to say that it's burning, because I think the longer you keep it in, the straighter it's going to get, and all these things, to now, like, these young girls being able to celebrate the hair that grows naturally out of their heads naturally. That's a beautiful thing. Yep. That is beautiful. And now B is going to have all these videos with her daughters. Her daughters are going to grow up and watch it. Oh my gosh, we were so silly, and this and the other. But they're going to see how much their mom poured into them when they were young, you know? And I love that. So like, that's one idea. I started taking swimming lessons in October. I wanted to learn how to swim. And I was just like, all right, finally going to do it. The world is open-ish and it's close by. And then someone's just like, can we do a BMC swim class? And I'm just like, absolutely. I haven't started the research on that, because that that requires way more liability than I want. But, you know, really just in terms of swimming in Canada is a life skill. If the moms know how to swim, they're going to put their kids in swimming. Their kids are going to get invited to pool parties and cottages. And you guys are going to go on vacation. and you don't want to, it's the comfort and the confidence. That's actually at the root of everything. Even our financial literacy, it's about the confidence to feel competent. And same thing with being around water, and the same thing with setting your goals, and the same thing with running your businesses. All these things are rooted in, are you okay? No, I need help. What do you need help with? I need help with this. And as small and minute as hair braiding and swimming is, those things will have a trickle down effect on how she feels that she can show up as a parent.
100%. I know exactly what that's like, because I'm a girl mom.
Ooh.
So I did feel some type of ways when I couldn't get to braid my daughter's hair. I was mastering it. And I could only imagine if I felt like that. Mm. I could only imagine how other Black moms must feel. Yeah. You know, and they might feel less than of a mother because they can't something as simple as braiding. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but something as simple as braiding, I started to feel sometimes away. Now, I'm a better braider, you know, it takes time, takes practice, and it takes somebody who's willing to show you. And if BMC is looking at helping moms who want to learn how to braid, I say, good job, Tanya. I'm all for it. Now, I'm going to shift a little bit in terms of Tanya and being an entrepreneur. So being an entrepreneur and a mom can sometimes seem like a daunting task.
Yes.
The idea of wearing those multiple hats can cause anxiety for a lot of women. What advice do you give to mothers who want to start a business, an organization, who's trying to continue a podcast and is feeling anxious?
Ooh, okay, so the first thing is always, why are you doing this? Because if money is your number one answer, you are doomed to fail. I'm so sorry to say. Because when people do that, they are not taking the necessary time. Because now they have a scarcity energy that they've launched, that is built into the foundation of their business. Which means they're always going to be hustling. They're going to take on any type of client, regardless of if it's a good fit for them or not. And it's just going to be a hamster running on a wheel and harder to grow. I need people to launch better. If you have a skill that you're good at, it is okay to have a hobby and it not be monetized. It is okay to just do a thing because you're good at doing a thing. But if you really, truly, sincerely believe that you can go to www.corporationscanada.com after you did a nuance search, N-U-A-N-S, and that's basically a national registry to make sure that the name of your company is not already taken up by the name of somebody else's company, because if you were to ever trademark, you wouldn't be able to do it because they got to it first.
Right.
So after you've done your nuance search, after you've sat down and thought about what is your product, done the research on what you should price this product at, especially if it's a product that you're making, how much is your time worth? If it takes you 8 hours to make a shirt and you sell that shirt for $20, all you've said is your time is only worth 20 divided by 8, less the product itself. I'm pretty sure that you are worth more than $2 and some odd cents per hour, whatever that math is. So do the research. Guys, you have to figure out what the market wants. Is your business being launched at the right time to the right people? Who is your audience? Do you know who they are? Do you know where they live? Do you know what social media platform they're on? Do you know what time that they're posting? You have to know all of these things in order to launch a competitive business in 2022 and beyond. You cannot just say, I have a domain. I maybe secured the Instagram and I have a Gmail account, and DM me for pricing and all sorts of other foolishness. No. You know, and oh, I have a logo, that means I have a business. No, it does not. It means you have a logo.
Yep.
It does not mean that you have a brand, right? I take a lot of time before I launch something. I go to GoDaddy to see if someone has the domain that I want. If someone has the domain that I want, I'm renaming the whole project. I'm starting from scratch. Because if I can't get the domain, it means that I can't get the email address, which means I can't get the socials, which means all these things don't go together and it makes no sense. So I start from the beginning. And I'm just like, when I have an idea and I love it and I go to GoDaddy and I see it's available, I snatch it. And I may parking lot it. I may just buy it so that no one else can buy it. I may buy it and let it go. And I've done that for things. People wanted shirts. They're like, we want a Black Kids Connection. I was like, oh, I should own Black Kids Connection. And I was just like, I'm not doing anything with Black Kids Connection. That's crazy. You know, same someone's like, oh, you guys should do a Black Dads Connection. I'm just like, but I'm not a dad, but whatever. It's our sister brand. So, or I guess our brother brand. So I should own it. Then I was just like, why do I own this? I'm just like, I'm not paying $20 a year for this. This is silly. Right. Yeah. But other programs like You Okay Mama. It's funny. I was on a call today and I was like, wait a minute. I have the domain, right? Wait a minute. Do I have the IG? And then I went to Instagram and I saw that there's like an Instagram. It has no followers and it has like no logo or whatever, but it has You Okay Mama in the bio. I was just like, but I own You Okay Mama, right? So then I had to go to my GoDaddy. I was like, okay, woo, that is our IG. Woo, word. It was really stressful, right? Because even if I don't ever use it, what you don't ever want is market confusion. Because if someone else decides that they want to do You Okay Mama, they're going to have to do You Okay Mama with underscores or dots or something else. And I'm just like, what you won't do is take something that I really believe in. And it's the question. It's not just about the branding. The branding will come later. I'm working on that now, right? Like, we do slow. I'm a slow cooker kind of girl. Sometimes microwave cooking is fine, but you know, I'm a pot roast in oven, 350 degrees for 45 minutes. The food tastes better. So it is okay to build slow, to work towards putting the pieces together. It is okay that if you don't have the money to pay, you know, a graphic designer right away. Okay, so what are your alternatives? You can, you know, go in Canva. Canva is free. Canva is the goatiest goat platforms of all time. Okay? Love Canva. Create your social media assets. You can create a logo. Your presentations. I think you can create a website. Like, it's all like, we want you to create the things in the canvas for free. I don't even know what the paid version looks like because I don't need to. I'm just like, it does everything I need for free. But I'm just like, you do not, if you don't have the money to pay someone to do all these things in the beginning, then you can do them yourself. But make sure that you put some forethought. Why is this your color? Why is this the name of your company? Why is this your logo? You look at BMC's logo, you know what you see? A big mama afro head and a baby mama afro head. So at the very least, you're just like, that's an afro mom and that's an afro baby. This organization has something to do with Black moms, Black babies. You can't see it, peoples, because you can't. But if you take the BMC, the Black Moms Connection, out of our logo and just have the two heads, you would still be able to guess what our organization is about without words. That's what Nike has. That's what McDonald's has. That's what some of the biggest and best brand. Apple just is just an apple. You know, I'm just like, some of the best brands don't need the words. If your organization's logo and brand does not have that, from when people look at it and they have to think and they have to guess and they have to click and link and bio and go to your website and go to your about page to find out who you are, you have made them do so much more work than they want to do. This is not the generation for that. People are lazy. They want one click and go. They want clear. They just want clarity. They don't want to have to link in bio. They don't want to have to DM you for prices.
Yeah.
And there's certain times when it is important to do a proposal. I'm an event planner. I didn't have LinkedIn. I don't have like, oh, it's just X amount of dollars to plan a conference. No, because I need to know how long is the conference? How many people? Where is it? Is that the other? You can do a proposal, but that's when you move your business out of the DMs. You move it into an inbox. You put it together, proposal with a budget, blah, 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 blah. You have a conversation, an intake. You have to do these things. You cannot skip your way to success. Right. You cannot social media, Instagram your way to success. It's very rare. You can go viral. But are you prepared for going viral? You know, like, everyone wants to go viral. I'm just like, until you go viral, you're not supplying people with the quality of the things or the communication, because customer service is very lacking in a lot of people. They don't answer their DMs. They don't answer their emails. They don't answer their calls. But these are the people that you want buying from you. And when they're mad at you, you get mad back. No, you took their money. You are now accountable to them. You have to respond. People get mad when there's no communication. They might not be happy with the communication. Be like, I'm so sorry. There's going to be a delay of 2 to 4 weeks, blah, 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 blah. Shipping, global pandemic, whatever. They might be mad, but they're not going to drag you. When they will drag you is when you're not replying to them and you haven't replied to their emails and you haven't replied to their DMs. Then they're going to drag you publicly on the timeline in your comments when you're trying to launch something else and brag about, oh, I just bought a new car. Oh, but you bought a new car, but you couldn't send me my purse. You see how all of these things go together, but you need to have a plan for all of that. And people are just launching with no plans. So I'm just like, regardless of what you're launching, a for-profit company, a nonprofit company, a podcast, I'm just like, there's so much work. There's so much work into things. What platform is best for podcasting? Do I need a fancy dancy microphone, or is my headset and thing that I got with my phone 3 years ago good enough for now? Because you have to think about where you are when you're starting. It's not necessarily going to be where you are a year later. But that year has to include work. It has to include consistency. And I say this all as a person who is terrible at being consistent. So don't think I'm preaching from you and not like, oh, yeah, I'm perfect. Absolutely not. Right. You know, all of my brands, both my business and personal brands and BMC, could be leap years ahead if I was more consistent with content and posting every day and making sure people knew what I was and what I was doing and, you know, social assets or whatever. But that also required a lot of time and energy from me and, you know, hiring someone else who's going to understand BMC's brand and their voice and my needs and my wants. And do we have the money to pay this person and all these other things? Right? Otherwise, it just falls through the cracks, which is what's happened in the past. But I'm just like, okay, well, how can we be more intentional? You know, I sat and did 4 hours worth of training with the people who run the Instagrams to learn about what works about Instagrams. So that way, I don't have to work that much harder and post content every day. It's not about posting content every day. It's about being clear about what we're posting. We're educational, we're entertaining. Where we want to be the premier number one resource for all things Black motherhood. It's going to take a while for us to get there. We have to do the work. That's why social is important. And all this offline work is important. And asking for testimonials. And taking pictures. Even if it's just a Zoom. Be like, hey, y'all. Cohort 5 of Finlit U was launching. There's a reason. So people can see what you're doing. Those are receipts that you're building along the way. So that when I go to the bank and I'm just like, hey, y'all, fund this thing. Give me $1 million. They're just like, all right.
You know. They know who you are. They'll be like, oh, it's Tanya. Let's give it to her.
I wish. You know, I still have to pitch. But because I built relationships while I'm building receipts, I'm less likely to get a no.
Right.
And timing is everything. You know, if you don't get to apply for a grant this year because you just couldn't get it together, chances are the portal will reopen next year when you're ready. Or you use that year to stack some coins, hire a grant writer so that it doesn't fall through the cracks. One or the other.
So my final question is, what is next for Tanya? Or what is next for BMC? What is the future for the nonprofit organization? Tell us, if you can tell us.
Okay, so what is next for Tanya? Tanya is in a season of alignment and boundaries and clarity and focus. Sorry, I was looking at my wall where I wrote down my words of the year. And which means that I had to get clear about who I am, what I do, what gets me out of bed, what gets me excited, and focus on those things and make sure that they align with, you know, each other. And I'm really excited for me. I have great mentors who are pouring into me, keeping me focused, They're like, hey, these are your three priorities for the first quarter of the year. If it doesn't align with those three things, don't say yes. Like, okay, mentors, I'm so sorry. And so I'm really excited. And, you know, great opportunities are coming my way. Some, you know, haven't worked out the way that I had hoped just yet. But doesn't a delay is not a denial. It just means that that one particular avenue, I just have to pivot and work in a different direction. So last month, I got to finally speak at a conference that I had been pitching to for like 5 years, Mom 2.0 Summit. That was a really big deal for me. And next week, I will be doing a TEDx Toronto talk on wow. the diversification of motherhood. So all things basically BMC. And telling other audience about who we are and why we exist and why we're important and why we're a solution to a problem that they don't know about. Not a lot of people know about that. That's not public knowledge. So this is for when this airs, you're allowed to share that because it will have been public knowledge. But yes. So that is that. So what's next for me is yesterday's price is not today's price. Mm-hmm. As a result of that work and really just trying to, you know, live my best life. I'm taking my son to Portugal next month. I found a crazy fair sale. It was like 600 return for the both of us. I'm like, sold. Yes.
On it.
Yeah. You know, because financial freedom to me looks like being able to book a flight and take off when I want to. That's really important to me and giving him those memories. And just working towards, you know, gaining the trust of going back outside. Hopefully the time of when I'm speaking to the time of which this airs, no major variants drop and decide to put us back into restrictions. What's next for BMC? Really excited. We have, by the time this airs, we have wrapped our board recruitment and expanded our board, which is really important to us. To really solidify us in a completely different way as a nonprofit organization. We are in the midst of, if we haven't already, hired our very first managing director, which means that I'm finally going to be able to succession plan and extract myself from the day-to-day that is BMC. I will be its loudest ambassador. I will be in the media. I will write and I will do whatever I can to amplify the work that BMC is doing, but I don't have to be in the inbox and on the calls and the Zooms and all the things unless I want to be. That is so, so, so important for my own self-care, my own boundary setting, my own mental health, and for the health of the organization as well, right? I'm a visionary. I have great goals for it. I want a childcare center. I want a building. I want an app. Like, I want a lot of things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be me leading it. I think that's another thing that founders really have to think about, whether it's for-profit or nonprofit. Do you always have to be the CEO? And how long you have to put a time limit to it. I'm well past my expiry date. I'm like milk, you know?
Oh, gosh.
starting to stink. No, I'm just kidding. But I think it's really important that you have an exit plan because your organization can only grow so much with you at the helm, the one who has carried it from inception, from incorporation, for it to get to the next level, for it to be the premier global Black motherhood brand. I can't take it there. I can't. I have other things to do. I have books to write and stages to be on and vacations to take. And, you know, someone else is going to get paid to do the work that I've been doing for free for 7 years. So both BMC and I are going to grow up a little bit in 2022 and to both of our benefits. And it's going to be a challenge and it's going to be scary and it's going to be very bizarre. And I'm going to be very tempted to log into the inbox and check the bank account and see what we're doing and how it's being spent. But I'm going to try not to because there's going to be a whole report at a whole board meeting that I'm going to lead. And until we find a better chair. And then I'm just going to be that person who just hangs around. I'm just like, hey, y'all, what do you need me to do? Do you need me to do anything? What do you need from me? Okay, bye. And see where my life takes me. You know, I've had amazing My life is sometimes an embarrassment of riches. The stages I've been on and the rooms that I've been in and the people that I get to talk to and the relationship that we've built is as a result of BMC. They don't ask me these things because I'm cute. They ask me because they know that there's an organization of, you know, at this point, you know, almost 30,000 behind me, right, propelling me, uplifting me. I take being the captain of that ship very seriously. And, you know, until it's time for me to hand the steering wheel thing off to another captain, I will do my best to keep it afloat and to keep it moving forward until it's off to someone, into someone else's hands.
Well, thank you, Tanya, for joining me on this episode. I really wanted to have this discussion with you because I honestly think, from being a member of BMC myself, a proud honorary member. No, I'm kidding. Just being a part of it, I've learned so much. I've grown so much as a mother. Mm. And so this is me giving you your flowers. Aww. How we can say, I will say collectively, yes, BMC people, I'm using myself as the spokesperson for us. Collectively, we are so grateful and so thankful for what you've done for us Black women and how you have continued to be that voice for us, and you've seen the needs for us and you really helped us. So I'm giving you your flowers and I'm saying thank you on behalf of the members of BMC. I hope to see this even around when my daughter, if she decides to have kids, or my son, if they decide to have kids and they're, anyways. If my kids decide to have kids, I hope that they've got BMC there as well as their support system. So keep going. We are rooting for you. As you had said, 30,000 plus all over the globe. Okay. We are rooting for you. We want to see the success of BMC, and you're doing awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so, so very much. I really appreciate it. Keep going yourself. You know, listen, what you're doing is not an easy thing. For anyone who's listening and is, hopefully you leave encouraged, slightly inspired. You're like, all right, what was that nuance search she told me to do? Like I told y'all, I'm all about the tangibles, but, thank you so very much for inviting me to be on the podcast today. It was a lovely time and conversation. Rooting for you and your team as well. And, you know, I'll be reaching out. The podcast is maybe in my future. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. I just know I can talk.
Special thanks goes out to Tanya for being on today's episode. You can follow Black Moms Connection on Instagram at Black Moms Connection, on Twitter at Black Moms Connect, as well as Facebook at Black Moms Connection. All information pertaining on where you can follow them will be provided in the show notes. Did you enjoy today's episode, or do you enjoy the podcast in general? Why not leave a comment and a review on Apple Podcasts? Don't forget to follow us on our social medias. You can find us on Facebook at A Shot of Melanin, on Instagram at A Shot of Melanin, and on Twitter at ASOM_podcasts. And we will catch you on the next episode.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.